From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. The Minnesota Department of Agriculture is about to impose Minnesota's first quarantine for gypsy moths because of an infestation in Lake and Cook counties. The quarantine will require inspections of logs for the timber industry, nursery stock, firewood, even camping equipment and patio items, anything that could become infested with gypsy moth larvae, and be moved to uninfested areas of the state. The Duluth News Tribune reports loggers, mills, and nurseries will have to sign compliance agreements and pledge to conduct their own inspections before moving any wood out of the quarantined area. The state also will have inspectors in the area randomly checking to see if people are following the rules, and penalties up to $7,500 can be assessed if they are not. Residents and tourists will be asked to thoroughly check their vehicles and any camping gear before leaving the quarantine area. The proposed quarantine includes all of Lake and Cook counties and occurs after the state agency trapped more than 71,000 gypsy moths last summer along and near the North Shore, 90% of which were in these two counties. That number was by far a record. It shows that the moths, which can defoliate large swaths of forest in their caterpillar stage, have become entrenched in Minnesota's Arrowhead. The teen driver involved in the June 13th vehicle rollover on Pike Lake Road has been sentenced. The rollover resulted in the death of 14-year-old Dylan Marshall of Grand Marais. The now 17-year-old defendant had entered a guilty plea to criminal vehicular homicide and other felonies and gross misdemeanors. On the 13th of January, Judge Michael Cuzzo considered two treatment programs recommended by probation officers and chose to sentence the defendant to 6 to 9 months at the Arrowhead Juvenile Center. The judge imposed several other conditions, including community service and regular court review. Tensions between state regulators and a company that wants to put an open-pit iron mine in northern Wisconsin could be a signal of more conflict yet to come. Gojibik Taconite Mining Company and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources got into a public dispute last week over how much regulatory authority remains in the agency's hands under a 2013 law that rolled back environmental restrictions to make mining easier. The Wisconsin State Journal reports the dispute over what is allowed and what isn't under the untested mining law may be a preview of what's to come when the company seeks a permit for the mine. Company spokesman Bob Seitz says rounds and rounds of questions from an overzealous DNR have delayed the process. Officials of the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa on Tuesday released the first details on last September's effort to retrieve 1950s munitions parts from the bottom of Lake Superior, saying the stuff now has been disposed of and nothing found so far has been toxic. The September effort retrieved the munitions found in 22 barrels that were first raised in the summer of 2012, but then chucked back overboard because the band and its contractors did not have the proper permits or equipment to deal with the Cold War vintage munitions. The munitions were still live ejection cup assemblies for cluster bombs manufactured by the Honeywell Corporation. As many as 700 of the ejector cups were found in each of the 22 barrels. The majority of those at a public hearing about the proposed Polymet copper mine are in favor of the project, saying it would bring jobs and money into the northeast corner of the state. About 650 people showed up Wednesday at Mesabi East High School for the second of three hearings. Aurora is on the edge of the Iron Range, and many residents used to work at a taconite plant that shut down in 2001. Polymet wants to reuse the shuttered plant's facilities. The mayor of a nearby town says it's time to open the mine and bring money to the Iron Range. Opponents say the environmental impact statement predicts long-term water treatment will be needed. One person asked, who would pay for that? And in a related story, opponents of the proposed Polymet copper-nickel mine charge that new data show the state's new draft environmental review for the project underestimates how much contaminated water would flow from the mine, raising serious questions about the long-term costs of treating it. Tribal hydrologists have been telling regulators for some time that the hydrological model on which the analysis rests underrepresents the true base flows of water at the mine site near Babbitt and need to be fixed. The Ely Timberjay newspaper, which first reported the concerns, says redoing the work could delay completion of the review and push back the start of the permitting process. But the Department of Natural Resources defends the water modeling in the review and says concerns expressed about it will help it create a better final version. Activists and ordinary citizens in northern Michigan say a federal plan for keeping Asian carp out of the Great Lakes will take too long to carry out. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is hosting public meetings on the report it issued this month with 8 alternatives for preventing the carp and other invasive species from moving between Lake Michigan and the Mississippi River watershed in the Chicago area. They range from doing nothing new to spending more than $18 billion over 25 years erecting barriers that would seal off the two watersheds from each other. During a meeting this week in Traverse City, a stream of speakers supported physical separation but insisted it should be done faster than in 25 years. They said the Corps should show more urgency. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.